Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those moments, those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small-town barbershop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you, come to our website and look at all the podcasts that we have had through the years. A lot of people are using them as resources because God has so blessed us with great guests. And tonight we are joined by our co-host, Ms. Barbara Moore, who has been, and I have been too, away from doing the radio show, but we're back at it, and this is the first night that we've been together. I don't know, Ms. Barbara, has it been months?
Well, it's been quite some time, at least a few weeks, Diana, and it's good to be back.
It is, and Ms. Barbara, I am just so blessed because, and I think the people that hears you understands what a blessing you are because, there's something very important about the word remember, and Mr. Dan Fraley has told us that. I can't exactly remember what he said, but there's the biblical, something very deep about it in the scriptures. And when I hear you and you tell me the history of this nation, I love how you play, how you state that, you know, it's really his story, and the more you know about him, about God, and, you know, his amazing hand upon this nation, the more you love him and this country. And you are so right, Miss Barbara. It's been, you know, being on the air with you has been like, it's not been a chore or a job, never has. It's always been like a labor of love to share what you know with the people. I mean, it's just been a privilege. But anyway, I have missed you, if you can tell.
Well, I have missed you, too. And, you know, when you're talking about remembering and what, I don't know what Dan has shared about it, but over 300 times in the Bible, the Lord admonishes his people to remember him, to remember the works of the Lord, to remember the wonders of the Lord, to remember to speak of the Lord, to remember. And so it's quite obvious to me that if the Lord is admonishing us to remember, we must have a problem with that. You know, we must have a problem with that. And we better put forth some effort to remember the wonders and the works of the Lord and to tell them to every generation. And that's where we have failed. I'm convinced, Diana, that is the major failing in our country, is that we have failed to transmit to each generation the accumulated wisdom of the past, and that wisdom of the wisdom comes from God. It's applied understanding. It's not just knowledge, but it's how to apply knowledge and understanding. So, and wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it's all connected with God, and we have failed to pass on to every generation the knowledge of God, the truth of his word, the truth of his principles, what life is all about, what we are to live for, that we're not to live for ourselves, that we're to live for God, to know him, to love him, to serve him all the days of our lives, and to be with him throughout all eternity, forever and ever, the purpose of life. And we have failed. We have failed to transmit that knowledge to our young people for several generations now, and I'm convinced that that's why we find ourselves in this place where we are floundering and facing all these problems, because we have not done it God's way. We just have not, and it's very sad. And the answer is very clear. We return to the Lord. We return to the Lord, and we pray for that great awakening, that great revival in this land and throughout the world. Amen.
Oh, Miss Barbara, thank you so much for that. And see, this is what's so amazing about you. You know, you make us come back. And I just want to also thank God for another guest that we have here, Miss Barbara, that's been listening to us. Joan Landis was supposed to be on with us, but I hate to say it, I forgot the time zone that she was in, and that she meant 8:30 her time, not my time. I apologize.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my gosh, my head has been just going every which way, but apparently it really messed up. But anyway, we have got somebody else that you're going to love. Ruthie Bryant White is with us.
Well,
hey.
Hello. Hi, everybody. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thank you. And you? How are you doing?
Amen. Blessings upon blessings, boy, today. It's just been really, really good. I'm just really excited and pumped up in spite of what Satan tried to do.
That's right. That's right. He is defeated in the name of Jesus.
Amen. He is. Ooh. He is. I was stomping on, crushing his head, crushing the bones in his head, and making him bleed.
All right.
We need to do that. I mean, he's been making a lot of people, unfortunately, suffer. But Miss Barbara, do you mind if we can go ahead and start with a prayer? Would you mind starting us off with a prayer, and me and Ruthie will come in agreement with you?
Okay, I'd love to. Thank you so much. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And Father, what a blessing, what a privilege, what a pleasure it is, oh God, to join together with my sisters in coming to you, oh God. Thank you, Father, that you not only allow it, oh God, but you desire it. You desire that we come before you with thanksgiving, with gratitude, oh Lord, for the many blessings of our lives, Lord, not just this day, but of our lives. Father, we thank you most of all for eternal life in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that we're able to know you personally and intimately through him and through his atonement. We thank you, Father, that pathway was opened to you through him. And Father, life has never been the same since. And Father, we pray for those who do not yet know you and know the joy, the satisfaction, the pleasure of knowing you. And Father, being able to communicate with you and that you communicate with us. We thank you for that, oh God, and we desire that for every person, Father. We pray for souls. We pray that many, many, many will come to know you personally and intimately through Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for our country, and we recognize, Father, that we have made our own mess, that we are the prodigal son, the prodigal nation, that we have turned our back on you and we have walked away. We took all the goodies, Father. We took the goodies. We took the liberty. We took the freedom. We took the prosperity. And, Father, we have spent it on ourselves and our own pleasures and on our own comforts. Father, all of us are guilty in one degree or another. But, Father, you desire so much more for us than just living in the present and living for the pursuit of pleasure. You desire a higher purpose for us, Lord. And, Father, may we begin to return to you and to live in your purpose, not only individually, but as a nation once again, O Lord. And that purpose is to honor you and to be that light to the world. I don't think that purpose has changed, Father. I believe that the prayers of the founding fathers and all those who have preceded us, Father, those prayers were Holy Spirit-breathed prayers, and they have not died. They have not died. They are before you as sweet incense, Lord. Oh, Father, honor the prayers of your people. Honor the prayers of your people, Father, for more of you, less of us. And, Father, that we will return to you and be restored by you, Father, for your purpose and your pleasure. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. Wow, that sets the stage. Oh, my goodness. You know, I just love it that we can go to him and he is able to give us words to say. And, Miss Barbara, that was just a wonderful and thing. We're going to have a dinner in the coming weeks, and I asked somebody to title it Remember the Foundation. And
wow.
I think, you know, there's something about remember. It is so important, and I'm so grateful that we are so blessed tonight with our dear friend Ruthie. Ruthie has been given a calling by God that is not just going to help a few families. I'm believing it's going to help not even just a nation. It's going to go beyond the borders. But, Ms. Barbara, one of the reasons that we're going to have this conference in January. We're titling it, It's About the Child. It's About the Child, and the website is itsaboutthechild.com. One of the reasons is because I think you personally have just put in so much about the founding of this nation, how important it is for us to remember the foundation, and that is what's missing. You know, I just love God's word because he does warn us, and he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And because we have rejected his knowledge, I will not make you a priest or something like that. And then it goes further, which all these years I've been saying that, I've never looked much further than that. I don't know why, because I know I've read it, but it's never hit me, and it's so timely. We have to realize the repercussions of that when we do not listen to him and the knowledge he wants us to have. Our children are in trouble, and that's what Hosea 4:6 says, right, Ms. Barbara?
Yes, absolutely, they are in trouble. You know, lack of knowledge brings destruction. It just does. And lack of knowledge of our country is bringing about our own destruction. We ourselves are forging the chains that bind us. We've done this to ourselves. We've allowed it. We've, you know, in many different ways enabled it. And and here we are. Here we are. You know, Diana, a couple of nights ago, I caught part of O'Reilly's program, and he had Jesse Waters on. And, you know, Jesse Waters does these interviews that really expose the lack of knowledge about our country. But what was heartbreaking to me was Jesse Waters, as a well-educated, by today's standards, well-educated young man, but his lack of knowledge was exposed right there on national TV. Bill O'Reilly was talking about Baron von Steuben, who Jesse Waters did not know who he was, and it just pierced my heart, because that was the man that George Washington had train our soldiers at Valley Forge, and we were transformed from a ragtag, not only ill-equipped but unable to do much of anything, you know, into a well-oiled war machine. You know, we didn't lose after that, and you know, but Baron von Steuben was the one that God used at Valley Forge to forge our troops, our army, our Continental Army, and the importance of that was just, you know, it was just breathtaking. That, and here is a supposedly well educated by today's standards young man who did not know that. And it just really pierced my heart. We've got to know about our own country if we plan on keeping it our own country. I mean, what's the purpose of keeping a country if you have no knowledge of it?
Hello.
Well, I think this is where Ruthie comes in, Ms. Barbara. You know, it's like, you know, we hear people say you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you're coming from. I mean, when you go to a map, right, to go somewhere, they always ask you in the direction, where are you going from?
You
gotta
have
key points, you know.
Here. You have to have a reference.
And I think we have missed that. We have missed it. I remember seeing at a place in Montgomery, Alabama, an old building that was, you know, like a part of, when you go downtown Montgomery, you always saw that building. Well, one day I came, and guess what? It was flat. It was as if it had never been there. And it reminded me physically of what happens when everything is removed, and that's what they're doing. Even the foundation of that place was removed. And I think that's where we've got to go back to the foundation And I'm here to just thank God right now, and I thank God for him every day. But he is giving us an opportunity, Ms. Barbara, to do what you have been doing on the radio show, which is letting people learn about their true foundation. And I think Ruthie, in an answer to a calling from God, she had had this vision of, you know, we've got to do something because the media, unfortunately, is not presenting the truth anymore. They've come a long way, right? And whatever is in the media, unfortunately, happens to the rest of the country because they're like our teacher. You know, we talk about the philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next. Well, it's like that with the media. The media has been our teacher for so long, and we're taking it, oh, well, it's okay. We saw it on TV. Well, no, it's not okay. And you cannot reinterpret the Constitution. And I love how you say it. It's like a wheel. And when you when we live a wheel, we want them to stick to it. And that's the Constitution. But that's not the way they're interpreting it. They don't even care about the original intent. They're, you know, they're redoing everything. So by the time they get through, if we do not put a stop, then we will not recognize our country. And here comes Ruthie with this dream. Is Breaking News Journal is now on track to give us a new network of clean channels, a place where there will be true argument, freedom of argument and debate. That's the enemy of error. And I am just so thankful. It's really mind-boggling what can happen with a new network that makes available clean programs without those indoctrinating commercials or sleazy commercials and other distractions, you know. It's going to be like a breath of fresh air. And Ruthie, you know, I'm just really so grateful for the opportunity that, you know, you're going to give the rest of the country and really the world with the launching of the Breaking News Journal, the new network, the lineup of channels that you have is just really incredible. If you don't mind, share with us a little bit of how you got started with this idea.
Well, many of you know that, maybe you don't know, I know I've been on the City on the Hill once before, but when I was a presidential candidate, I was the first presidential candidate of the 2008 elections before Hillary, Obama, or McCain. And I was traveling across the country, and I was finding people, I was talking to people about different things, and they were making statements like, I never heard about you. How come I never heard about you? And it was like, well, I don't know. We sent the information to CNN and all those places, and they were like, I'm mad, I'm angry, because they're not giving information, and I like what you have to say, and I think that you should be president or whatever it was that they were saying. And what God laid on my heart as I was traveling across the country is you need to provide a voice for people on the ground level, people that this was before the Tea Party movement and what happened in Washington, D.C. And so I said, Lord. So I started Breaking News Journal on Election Day 2008 to have 24/7 breaking news, not pundit news, not people pontificating about stuff they don't know what they're talking about, but actual 24/7 breaking news from Associated Press or whatever. And so we still have that on breakingnewsjournal.net. And what started evolving, and I'll fast forward, you know, I started Breaking News Journal TV channel after, that's only been a couple of years because of the fact that we were talking about movies and stuff like that, so we'll be able to do movies on Roku, Google Chrome, and Amazon Fire. But God told me, he said, you have programs that can be loaded on TV and start the TV channel now. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I started looking at all the people that had programs and stuff that are part of our team. We have over 50 producers, composers, directors, TV developers, writers, you know, stuff like that, musicians and things like that. So I've been working with them, and they have their radio programs and stuff like that. All those things will be loaded on the TV channel. But what happened, what God showed me was, although he prepared me in 2008, technology hadn't caught up to where my thoughts and where my head was, you know, on a creative side, because I was a producer in Hollywood for years, and, you know, and I, you know, coordinated and, you know, worked with Women in Film, and our work was sponsored by Universal Pictures, Paramount Studios. We worked with Sony. You know, I was on every TV film studio lot in Hollywood. We were just, you know, I was just doing a lot of things. I helped Lisa Givens produce her shows and, you know, stuff like that. So some of her programs and stuff like that that related to the issues that she was concerned about. And so I, when this came about, knowing how to produce a program and knowing how to, and I've done commercials, we produce commercials for the kids and stuff like that. So I was like, you know, we can do this. We can get this done now. It's like God said, get it done. So I started lining up everybody, producers and everybody, and asking them if they wanted to be on the team. And as we, you know, started and everything, we found out about Roku. And then I started trying to find TV developers and stuff like that. We came across a Wiz channel. But during this time, there were all kind of Tea Party groups having their own TV programs and stuff like that. And my cousin, C.L. Bryant, did the movie called Runaway Slaves that Freedom Works and all of them purchased and stuff like that from him. And he told me, he said, Ruthie, you need to have Breaking News Journal TV. He said, because you have a lot of good stuff. He said, and everybody needs to have it. Well, that was about maybe 3-4 years ago. And so I, you know, I said, okay, you know, I started really, it was just confirming. God was just confirming his work. Well, what we have now, God starts showing us all kind of things that was really needed. So we have started out with the Breaking News Journal, 24/7 Breaking News, which is turning into sports, 24/7 sports for sports fanatics. And now we're going to offer to, on just that level, we're talking about the offering to the Tea Party groups their own Tea Party group name TV desk, news desk, so that they can have their own programs about what's going on in their own areas. That's just a small part. We're going to have TV programs for kids. We're going to have their own channel. And at the conference that we have, the www.itsaboutthechild.com conference, we are going to have children auditioning to produce and host their own TV programs. We're going to have a mini fashion show where there's a girl from Make-A-Wish Foundation that's 10 years old who has designed her own line of clothes, and we're going to put that out there because we need to change the narrative of what these kids are going through. So we need to give them the hope to be able to produce, do their own programs, and come back to God. And so we're doing that in a way that's going to be creative and entertaining for them because they get bored very, very easily. So we're going to have programs there at the It's About the Child conference that relate to them, and then we're going to have the adult programs and stuff, and I'll get to that in a second. So what we have are people that have produced programs about clean dancing, fitness and fitness and health. We're going to have classic cars, investigative reporting, breaking news, of course. We're going to have what else are we going to have now? I know you don't know this, Miss Barbara, but our own Diana Cruz is going to be launching in Houston, Texas, 2-hour special live audience of her new show, Ladies of City on a Hill, talk show, and it's going to be a lot like The View.
Wow. All kinds of things.
And you're going to be there. You're going to be there, so you're going to be one of the people that's going to be up there on that stage. You know, so we know that. But, you know, that's what she wants. But this is going to go all over the country and all over the world. Now, so then we're talking about other programs and stuff that people are doing that will relate to whether cooking. Diana even wants to do a cooking program, which she can do. Then we just got, and you can be blessed by this, that Judge Moore's Foundation for Moral Law has just agreed to work with us for us to develop his program called the Constitution Hour that's going to be done and developed and filmed in Alabama. And Diana's going to be the producer. She may even be a host of the program because she doesn't want her face seen. And so we're gonna do that. We're gonna do that program there and everything. And then now we are getting people that could be set directors for that program. Producers, we talked to Ray last night, who's there in Alabama. He can get us as many cameras as we need and the things like lighting and sound and all that he can take care of. And then we'll bring in our other technical person to make sure everything is live streamed and make sure everything is right. We have craft services people that can do the craft services and do the layout for the crew and stuff like that as they're filming different programs and projects around the country. Just so much that's going on now, and so we are really expanding fast.
Ruthie, because Barbara, she gets so excited. Can you tell Miss Barbara? She's very excited about it.
Amen.
I am too. I wanted to clarify. Well, Miss Barbara loves Judge Moore, and I can tell Ruthie does too. But actually, Judge Moore is not going to be on the show. But
no.
You know, the Foundation for Moore Law is one that Judge Moore started, but Miss Kayla Moore runs it as its president. I think that's her title. But you know, we'll probably hear from either Mrs. Kayla Moore or Colonel Ismo, but it's going to be some of the best, right, Miss Barbara? Some of the best perspective in the country. You're going to hear right there. What do you think, Miss Barbara? Miss Barbara can.
Well, it will be the best. There's no one better than the Foundation for Moral Law and Kayla and Colonel Ismo. And that's so needed, really, really needed.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I can see why you are so very excited.
Well, you guys make me excited. You know what I'm saying? I worked so long on it. Sometimes it's like, okay, I'll be so glad when this is all over. But the excitement keeps building because you guys get excited about it, and the people that get excited about it, like Judge Moore's wife, Ms. Kayla, that makes me excited because it confirms what God said to do when we've gone through so many hard times. And I've, you know, keeping accounts open and things like that over the years and telling people about it and trying to hit people upside the head and say, don't you understand we need to have this because you're not going to get what you need. You're not going to get your voice heard on ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, Fox, or any of CNN. You're not going to get your voice heard. You know,
that
so it's like, this is the only place that they're going to be able to have that. Now, on a business level, you know, I used to work in finance and stuff like that, so I know accounting and things like that. But what I found out, what really got me going, is I found out that the cable business was really milking everybody out of the monies that they have because they're paying 60, 70, 80, 100, 200, thousands of dollars a month for programs that they can't possibly see. You know, because it's just too many channels, and you only have time to look at one or two channels, and if you're a busy person and not a couch potato, there's no way that you can watch all of those different programs. So they are milking you for everything that they can get, and they are producing the programs that you don't want to see. So you're paying them to produce the programs that you don't want your children or grandchildren to see. How crazy is that?
That is crazy.
So we're giving the chance to say, okay, you can get rid of all of that and come to Breaking News Journal and choose what you want to watch or go on Roku and pick your own set of programs that you want to see. But Breaking News Journal is there and Clean TV is there, and we're going to have the channel. We're going to have Miss Barbara, we're going to have the Sustainable Men's Channel where they can see all their sports and their fishing programs and truckers programs and all that stuff that they want to see. And then we're going to have the kids channel, and then we're going to have the almost free 99-cent channel. That's a channel where everything will be seen on those programs, but the commercials, clean commercials, not anything nonsense, no nonsense. And those will be on those channels. Then we have the $9.99 commercial-free channel. That's where all the programs, the same programs will be on that channel, but they will be commercial-free. And then we're going to have the ubiquitous Learning Channel, because that, you know, all the education programs with, you know, Bradley Deans, My War, Sons of Liberty Radio, Bradley Deans, My War. He works with a lot of high schoolers and go to high school programs and stuff like that and ministers to young people. But they're starting now to close him out because he's reached, almost a half, if not a million kids by now in high schools and stuff. And and now they're shutting them out because, you know, Common Core and all the different things that they're trying to do to destroy our kids. So we're bringing his programs on the Breaking News Journal, Two for Learning, Two for Preschool, on the Ubiquitous Learning Channel with Murray Bass. And then we're going to have Professor White's Happy Math with the Professor TV program. And then we're going to have we're working and we're believing God through the board of the Freedom Project Education that all of their programs will be on too. We just sent a letter out to their team today because we just got to talking to Dave today and to get them on board what we're doing. And so we're going to be doing all kinds of programs. And now we're going to have Ben Larson's. We're going to talk to him and ask him to bring his have a program on Breaking News Journal Channel talking about how Christians are being persecuted as educators, you know, and stuff. This is stuff that people don't ever hear anything about that they need to know about. So we're going to have a major lineup.
Well, Ruthie, I have another suggestion for you there.
Yes, ma'am.
William Federer is out of St. Louis, and he is a noted author, and he's appeared on lots of different TV shows, 700 mm-hmm. Club, Dr. D. Kennedy's old TV mm-hmm. show. Mm-hmm. He's a historian, author, mm-hmm. speaker, and he does a little TV blog. He might be interested in some of his programming going on the
mm-hmm.
network as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
excellent, just excellent.
Okay. Well, we need to have variety, so definitely. I don't know how to get in touch with him, but if you can have him get in contact with me and everything, or Diana or you, or if you guys are all close to him, then we can talk to him about it because we know how quickly we all get bored about stuff. So we want to make sure we have a variety that people can watch on their own time. They don't have to worry about a schedule or what time a program comes on. They can just go and click and find his program and watch what they want to watch. And if they have to go and emergency come, they can come back and watch the same, finish watching the rest of it, or they can go back to the beginning and watch it, or if they miss something, they can key back and watch it and stuff like that. That's the uniqueness of TV on demand.
Wow.
Well, and Ruthie, I want to say this too. You know, I don't know if it's just me, Miss Barbara, but what I found the most beautiful stories really are the God stories.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, the God stories, and Miss Barbara does a good God storytelling.
mm-hmm.
But I think people are not going to get bored, Ruthie, because I think there's something about truth, isn't there, Miss Barbara? I mean, there is something to me when, you know, it's like the Bible, once I woke up to what the Bible was it when the light bulb, I guess the problem is getting to the light bulb moment. I think when you can get people, and we will help them, get to that light bulb moment, people are changed. Something
yes.
changes, their taste for things change, their taste
mm-hmm,
for movies
mm-hmm,
change,
mm-hmm,
you know, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's what's going to happen here. We have been almost made to be robotic in that we will sit there
mm-hmm.
and watch trash, garbage. But, you know, that I believe that God is going to do things because when God gives a gift, and this is a gift, I think, to his people, it's a very good gift. It, you know, we've never really thought this before. We've never really, I think, thought it could be so big or dreamed this big, but he is a big God, and he does want us to, I think, do great things, you know. And so I'm really excited about what's coming down the pike, and I really don't think they're going to get bored. I think something's going to happen. It's that special something when God puts his touch on it, you know, that people just
I want to go into the conference,
and I want to bring in Ms. Barbara, you know, because Ms. Barbara is a teacher. She has a calling, and really she has a true gifting from God, because when the children get through with Ms. Barbara's teaching, they strive to be great citizens.
Amen.
They strive
Hallelujah.
To do something
all,
with their lives. And I think that's really what it's we're supposed to be becoming in school. I think, you know, that's supposed to be training us to be really good thinkers so that we can be a help to mankind, a help to this nation, not a hindrance, not a baggage, you know, not a drain on society. We've come a long way, but I wanted to just bring this out, Ms. Barbara. You know, we had talked about earlier about my people perish for lack of knowledge. What do you think is important about having a national conversation on the transformation of education? Why do you think it's important to have this national conversation that's going to happen January 29th to the 31st in Houston, Texas? Why is it important for us to have this?
Well, first of all, there is a lack of knowledge about the transformation of education. Mm-hmm. People have this vague sense, but nothing too specific, although people are becoming more and more alarmed about the crazy math because so many are experiencing it. But other than that, it's this vague uneasiness that our children really are not learning what they need to know, and they don't know much about life. They're not learning much about life, and it's a vague uneasiness rather than a real specific understanding about the not only the transition, but the transformation of education. That is the final stage where it's it has become the model of those who dreamed about this for many years and worked and planned and implemented step by step where they could to bring about this transformation. So first of all, to raise awareness, to gain information for mm-hmm. Americans to gain information, and then also. For those that have some knowledge, for them to be able to share that information and impart it, you know, that's very important. But, you know, discussion precedes action. You've got to talk about things before you can take action. Mm-hmm. And so it's preliminary preparation work for taking action and taking back our country.
Yes, ma'am.
And Barbara, I think too that we are. It's almost an emergency time, isn't it? I mean, can we really afford to be uninformed? You know, is there much more time for us to be apathetic?
I think not. I mean, I think we're at the end. You know, when you get to this stage in education. It is the end. It is the final stage. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it is truly now or never that it gets stopped. And it is an emergency. It is a crisis. Mm-hmm. And so this has got to take place.
You know, I remember learning growing up, Ms. Barbara and Ruthie, that America is a land of opportunity.
Yep.
And I think it's really an answer to prayer. I just love it. You know, the Mayflower Compact and the prayer, City on a Hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to become a byword. People really need to understand that really men that cared for children prayed to God for help because they were seeing their children changing. And I love how you tell the story, Ms. Barbara, the Mayflower. Could you give, can you tell the listener a little bit of what it must have been like for these brave parents?
You know, first of all, the pilgrims had religious freedom in Holland, except that they were not permitted to witness. And, you know, other than that, they had religious freedom. But their children were being corrupted by the worldliness of the Dutch.
Wow.
It was a very worldly culture. And so in order to save their souls and preserve their souls, they felt it necessary, the pilgrims felt it necessary to leave Holland and get away from the world. They felt like God was calling them to the new world, to that wilderness, that unknown, but at least they would have their families and face whatever challenges they would face in the wilderness. Mm. They would face them with their families together, and they would have control over their children and the influences over their children.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you know, the voyage itself was so rough mm-hmm. because they were supposed to be sailing in two ships, but the other ship was not seaworthy. And so the ship was extremely crowded. They did everything, you know, down below, and it was a really smelly, stinky, noisy place of great hardship, and the voyage was quite long because they got started late,
mm-hmm.
and they were not with the trade winds, and it was too cold, and so by the time they got to the New World, the conditions were such, you know. Their clothing would, when they get in the water, their clothing would turn to ice. It was that cold. But after that long, smelly journey across the sea, and at one point they experienced storms. And at one point, the ship was going to be broken in two. One of the men, or several of the men, had thought to put on board this ship a particular apparatus that enabled them to screw something together and keep the ship together and keep it afloat. So they finally got to a place where they could land. But even at that point, they did not get off that ship. They did not disembark. They remained on board this ship until they had written this Mayflower compact that began, in the name of God, amen. In the name of God, amen. Everything was that they were about to say, everything they had done, everything they were going to do was going to be done in the name of God.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
And they said at the very beginning, they said, "We have undertaken this voyage and to plant this colony in the northernmost parts of Virginia, etc." Why? Three reasons. They gave three reasons. "We have done this, number one, for the glory of God, number two, for the advancement of the Christian faith, and number three, for the honor of king and country." So they were seeking the glory of God, and they were soul winning. What souls mm-hmm. were they going to win? They were going to win the barbarians, the Indians, the savages in the wilderness. They were soul winning. And indeed, within a period of something like about 12 years, they had started a large number of missions to the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they were true to their calling from God to be soul winners. They were true to their calling from God to do everything to his glory. And mm-hmm. it's just and they faced their challenges with God, whether it was drought, they would fast and pray for rain, and a gentle rain came, you know, whether it was, you know, food or whether it was safety. The Lord sent several Indians to help, Squanto being one. So, I mean, it's just a beautiful story of God's hand upon them, a people that were committed to doing His will and His purpose. And one that we need to know as Americans, we need to know these stories.
Well, you know, I was wondering, you know, does anyone ever talk about Pocahontas and John Smith?
Yes, yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, John Smith wrote about all his adventures, including being captured by Muslims and endured slavery until he escaped and so forth. But then coming to the New World and how Pocahontas saved his life. And but John Smith wrote about that. It was interesting. He wrote about that in the third person.
But really?
But it is very interesting to read. He was a good writer. He was also a cartographer. He's the one who named, although, you know, he was with the Jamestown settlement. He's the one who mapped other waters and other parts along the eastern coast. Plymouth, he named Plymouth, where the Pilgrims later settled. Absolutely.
She left America and went to England, as a matter of fact. Now, they were in love with each other, and I don't think that they said that they ever got a chance to reunite. I think she got married to someone else in England. I can't remember all the story, but she got married to somebody else in England. I can't remember, you know, who it was, she did
he
leave.
He was a tobacco planter who was in Virginia. He was an Englishman, but he was a tobacco planter who was there at Jamestown. And he did take her back to England, where she was able to see John Smith again. It's believed, you know, there are indications that they might possibly have been in love with each other. One thing about it that we do know, they cared deeply for each other. Now, whether that was a romantic love, he was quite a bit older, but we're not certain about that. He doesn't really address that. But
Disney had a movie. Did you ever see the Pocahontas movie that Disney did?
Well, that was not accurate.
I figured it probably wasn't. How accurate was it?
Yeah.
It's probably highly inaccurate.
Yeah, it was.
Miss Barbara, Ruthie, you see how wonderful it is to listen to a great historian like Miss Barbara. You just want to sit there and see, you're going to keep on because you didn't fall in love with a historical account here. So,
Can you imagine children listening to her? I was writing down the America, the New World, as a new TV program. I'm just sitting there writing. You know, and I was like, you know, that would be a great title for a program when Miss Barbara can talk about it and stuff like that. And because I'm American Indian, you know, I really, really want to know how the relationships had and how they came together and stuff like that. So this is going to be something that kids need to know. You know, because I have fights with people, Miss Barbara, because when people, you know, deal with me, you know, my husband and I, we were called to deal on race relations a lot. And when people make statements to me, and they say, no, you're African-American. What if we send you back to Africa? And I'm like, you need to get the heck out of my country because I am not African. I am American Indian. Thank you very much. So if you have a problem, get out of my country. And they get they start acting over. They're like, okay, they don't have anything else to say. It's like, you know, so, you know, those kind of things. I think that, you know, I like to fight sometimes, Ms. Barbara, but that's because it's a good fight, and it's a fight that really needs to happen spiritually. We need to deal with a lot of these kinds of things and stuff. So that's the reason why I asked. But I think it would be good for you to have a program called America, the New Home. I mean, the New World.
Yeah.
Okay, it will be done. God help us, because we got to have it. And I, you know, it's going to be so exciting because you're an adult, Ruthie, and look at how excited you are. Can you imagine the young people, how excited
exactly.
they will be to hear Miss Barbara? Oh,
absolutely.
My goodness.
Absolutely.
And see, she, I hate to say it, Miss Barbara, but you know you have a romantic flair.
There's nothing wrong with being romantic. My goodness. Hey, God created us
to be
romantic.
We need more of that good romance, you know?
Do.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway, okay, the show is almost over, but we got to keep talking some more. Well, asking people to please join us at the conference on January 29th and 31st, which is going to be in Houston, Texas. You can physically join us. Just go to itsaboutthechild.com. You have to register. Everyone has to be registered, and, you know, it's going to be limited space, so not everybody's going to be able to come, especially if you wait till late. And it may be getting there, so you better hurry up.
Yeah, because people are
website.
starting to register. People are registering now, everybody. So go ahead, Diana.
Yeah, itsaboutthechild.com. Just go to the front of the website. It says, you know, put your name, first name, last name, and then you click submit, and it leads you to steps on what to do. It'll put you to the webpage that tells you what you need to do. And if you're part of a Tea Party group, a Stop Common Core group, pro-life group, and you need some funds to get there, we're going to help you. There's ways to get the funds. So, you know, we want everybody that can, that wants to have a chance to come, to have a chance to come. But if you cannot come, there is that wonderful live stream through Breaking News Journal that's also going to have this wonderful network of clean programs, wonderful programs. So we invite everybody to come because I really do believe that, you know, God is true to his word. He does not want us to perish, not want us to perish for lack of knowledge. There's an awful lot of that. We are now in a country where knowledge is so available. Unfortunately, true knowledge is what you need. And that's what we're hoping when you go and join us live stream or there at the conference, you're going to hear a side of the transformation of education that's going to be important for your family, for your child, because no man is an island. It doesn't matter if you homeschool that child, private school that child. The kind of children that comes out through public education is going to affect your child. And, you know, you hear the stories of children that's been raised so greatly, they go to college, and what happens? You know, unfortunately, bad, evil lurks. And, you know, a lot of it is in the minds of children with the way that they are really being trained these days. As Joan Landis, who's one of our speakers, says, some of these things that they're teaching are going to make our children easily manipulated, easily triggered. And you're seeing that. You are seeing that in the news. They're so easily triggered. So it's time to change for the better. And it starts with us getting informed. So at $10, that's the price of the live stream of 3 days. My goodness, you can afford to not eat one hamburger and watch the show. Or two hamburgers. Let me take that back. Two hamburgers. You can sacrifice two hamburgers for the price of the show. But in closing, we want to give this to the Lord and pray. We are about his business. He founded this nation. He blessed us. And, you know, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We know where our blessings and help come from. So we're going to proudly ask it, or really humbly ask for God's grace. So here we go in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Thank you. Thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. Thank you for the history of this nation whose God is the Lord, Jehovah. You have been so merciful, gracious. You allow these parents to, Lord, to be able to do great things through their hardship. They were able to forge a path for their posterity, and we are the beneficiary. Please help us, bless us, shine your light upon this nation and your mercy again. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, ladies, Ms. Barbara, I'm going to turn it over to you to say the closing words. And Ruthie, thank you so much, Ruth Bryant-White.
You're welcome. Have a blessed evening, everybody. Thank you so much for inviting me to come on up to listen to Miss Wonderful Barbara and Miss Wonderful Diana Cruz. Thank you, ladies.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure this evening. God bless you both. And listeners, we ask the Lord to bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and be merciful and gracious unto you. God bless you. Thank you for being with us on City on a Hill Radio Show. Good evening.